Well, hello everyone. Welcome to this week's Weekly Waffle Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening in. I'm your host, or one of your hosts. My name's Vinny, and of course joining me as always is...
Sup guys, it's your boy, Forrest, the podcaster of the entire world, and the United Nations of Uganda.
Wow, he's like the Kofi Annan of the podcast world.
I could continue the entire podcast from this distance if needed.
No, come sit down. Come sit down. He's, you know, fashionably late, obviously, joining us. As we said, welcome to the Weekly Waffle Podcast. I'm Vinny.
I'm Forrest, at a closer distance to the microphone.
Cool. I'm old and he's not. What are we going to do? Again, just chew the fat, really. See what we've been doing all week. See if the age gap between us, of course, those massive, broad 30 years. Just highlights a big lot of difference between us. Hmm. Or maybe not distance. Maybe it's...
You say distance. How far away we are? Yeah. A few inches away from each other.
You never know. I think there's a lot of common ground there. So, but first of all, I'm going to pull rank on you. I'm going to pull rank on you.
What?
Pull rank. Not pull rank. It's not a person. I'm going to pull rank. Awesome. Because last week, we set you some homework, didn't we? Those of you who listened in last week, we obviously got talking about films. One of the films up for discussion was The Exorcist. Indeed. At which point, of course, Forrest was like, I've never seen it. Therefore, we put the homework. Okay, so the stage is yours. You want to tell me exactly what was The Exorcist like then?
It was all right for a film that is that old. It was quite surprising. I especially love the parts when the aliens came in and started strip pole dancing.
You didn't watch it, did you?
No.
What happened? What happened to your homework? Dog had it? What happened to it? It went through the wash?
Anime happened.
Anime happened.
Or Netflix happened, I suppose.
Intriguing. Okay, so what stopped us from watching, what stopped us from the homework then? What was it? What have you found?
I found a dead body in the backyard, first of all. But Cowboy Bebop.
That's a whole different podcast. Cowboy Bebop. I'd never heard of Cowboy Bebop. I'm old. I must admit we sat down, we watched it together. I kind of liked it. What?
Washed it together.
Together we washed a Cowboy Bebop. There's an Urban Dictionary for that. What is a bebop?
Oh, it's a bebop. Let's have a look.
Anyway, Cowboy Bebop is... How old is this Cowboy Bebop?
Well, it was 1998 that was originally released.
Do you know what? I quite enjoyed it, though. It's that really sort of... Do you know what it reminds me of, which you probably won't have heard of? It's that sort of Battle of the Planets sort of style.
Or like... Battle of the Planet of the Apes.
No, not Battle of the Planet of the Apes, just Battle of the Planets.
Battle... I don't know.
Battle of the Planets was cool, man. Well, I used to run home from school in time to see it. There was no repeats back then. You couldn't get it again. It had to be like... It was like that was the time. Once a week, whatever, you had to be home. That's how cartoons were back then. So what are you looking up? Are you looking up what does bebop mean on the Urban Dictionary?
Yeah, well, apparently...
Can you tell me?
It's an early form of modern jazz.
It's Urban Dictionary
gives
it off as that.
It's also the name of one
surprisingly clean for the Urban Dictionary.
It's also one of the names of Shredder's henchmen in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon.
It is. Oh my gosh, I'd forgotten all about that.
It's also the name of Spike and Crew's spaceship from Cowboy Bebop, the anime. But it's also meaning to hit or beat up.
Yeah. Bebop, O vomit, haha, random military. That's the Urban Dictionary. That's the answer I expected. If you haven't looked up the Urban Dictionary, of course, it's well worth doing. Normally just pick two random words, put them into the Urban Dictionary, and it's normally something rude.
I mean, you typed in Urban Diction. Yeah, it's dictionary, but...
Yeah, Urban Diction. That's the way they say it. That's the way you tell them. Anyway, on animes, I did notice, of course, which I'm going to give a big shout out for, which I do want to do a rewatch, which I know you're not that keen on,
okay,
is, of course, it's the fact that Akira, one of the first animes I ever saw, it was obviously when we watched it, we were the kids back then, and it was set in the massive future that we couldn't even imagine.
Yeah? Of?
2019. That's the year in Akira. Really? 2019 is the year Akira is set. Neo Tokyo... Post-explosions. Crazy.
Did you know that Blade Runner takes place in 2019 as well?
Blade Runner takes place in 2019.
The original one. The original one with a younger Harrison Ford.
And do you also know that Blade Runner was filmed, a lot of it,
in the future?
Up at Teesside.
Where?
At Teesside.
What's Teesside?
Teesside. It's like the bit at the side of a cup. It's not. Okay. Up in the northeast of England, in the UK.
Okay.
What you've got is obviously a lot of industrial there. Yeah. And there's a place there, like Teesside. I can't honestly remember for the life of me what it's called. It might be sort of off, sort of a place called Billingham and stuff. Whereas, essentially, for miles and miles, you're talking pipelines and, you know, smoke and flames getting vented off. And it really does have the look. And I do believe that scenes from that film were, you know, obviously filmed in that industrial complex. Obviously overlaid with loads of filters to make it look like the future. Another also cool fact of films was that scenes out of Alien 4, maybe? Alien 4 that came out after Alien 3. Might have been Alien 3. That was filmed up on a place called Sea and Beach.
Do you mean...
Or scenes of it were, because there's that much sea coal up there. That the obviously you have the beaches almost covered in like black sand. And again, blow a bit of smoke over it, bit of a yellow lens on. Hey presto, alien planet.
Interesting. Yeah. Wait, sorry, that was a bit of a weird thing there. Interesting, not interesting.
Or interesting.
I don't know how I said it.
What is it? Is that kind of a different resting when you're interesting?
Yeah.
Oh, after many years practice, I can now interrest. Is that like... The Karate Kid.
Well, no, that's actually the sensei of the Karate Kid, not the actual Karate Kid.
Mr. Miyagi.
I doubt the Karate Kid talks like that.
The Karate Kid, he does now. He's much older. His voice has matured, mellowed in timbre.
Which one? The sensei or the other one? Because I believe the sensei's kind of gone a bit now.
What's that? Yeah, he passed away.
Yeah.
He left this plane.
And he went to Magic Realm.
He left this plane and got on another one.
He left this plane and he got on one with... Goddamn snakes! Snakes on the plane. Snakes on a plane. Samuel Jackson. I don't know what year that was.
Never seen it.
Neither have I.
Do you think we're missing much?
Hell yeah. Who doesn't want to see snakes on a plane?
Yeah, but was it really going to be that bad?
Listen, it's got Samuel Jackson in it. How bad can it be? You know what? It's got Samuel Jackson in it. I wouldn't be surprised if Tarantino directed a bit of that scene. That movie with Samuel Jackson, because you know he appears in every film. Why not?
I don't think he did.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't think he did.
Wouldn't be surprised.
I don't think he did.
I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe I don't know. Maybe what's her name from Kill Bill is fighting snakes in the scene you can't see because it's
Her name? Uma Thurman.
Yeah, more like Uma Thermostat. Oh,
she is hot. Oh dear. Right. Do you know what else I've been doing loads and loads of?
What?
Hitting Netflix.
Hitting Netflix?
Beasting it on Netflix. Beasting it. What we've done in our house is we've sort of forgone normal terrestrial telly. Fantastical telly. So for not having fantastical telly, we've now gone to Netflix. Several things I like about Netflix. Like the modern world, and in all other areas of your life, you can binge. You can gorge and stuff yourself. You can stuff your eyeballs with series after series after series. That's pretty cool. What's funny is there's so many people keep going, oh, you should watch this series or that series. And it's good to catch up with this, like to be introduced to something. A good example of this is Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which I'd heard rumour of over the last few years of my mates talk about it. I'm like, never seen it. I'm pretty hooked.
It is amazing.
It is.
It's very funny. It's very good.
Do you know what I love about it as well?
What?
20-odd minutes an episode.
Hmm?
No adverts.
Yeah.
And I can imagine, like, if that was normal TV, they'd stretch that shit out.
Yeah, it'd probably be like 30, 40 minutes.
30, 40 minutes of cheesy adverts trying to sell me all sorts of carpets and pizzas.
Do you know what is the best part about Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
All of it.
Terry Crews!
Yeah, I was not aware of his work.
You've never heard of... Yeah, I remember you told me you've never heard of Terry Crews.
Loads of my friends, when we're talking about it, they go, yeah, Terry Crews is in it. And I'm like, I don't know.
Listen. Do you know of Old Spice?
Old Spice to me means a man surfing down a wave with the music. Duh, 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 like a proper cheesy advert from the 70s. And then a man going,
get him Old Spice this Christmas.
That sort of thing. Are you telling me that Terry Crews advertises Old Spice? Now, does he advertise Old Spice as in, like, Schwartz that's gone wrong? Or is it actual, the aftershave, the perfumo for men?
The one that had, like...
The Eau de la
Homme. You know the original adverts were like, look at your man, now back at me, now back at your man, now back at me. I'm on a horse.
No.
You've never seen the advert?
No.
Jeez. Hang on. Can I show videos on the podcast?
You can show me the video on the podcast, and I could, like, react and go, what the Jiminy Christmas?
Wait, how are we doing it? Because, like, if we use audio, will it copyright?
Maybe.
Maybe we should just cut it for a second. Right, Old Spice commercial. So this... Okay, hang on.
You can do is you can show me it. Unfortunately, I will cut it out, so I've not played something I'm not supposed to. And then all of a sudden, we'll cut to the fact that I'll be laughing my ass off or going, what the heck have I just watched?
So this is from 8 years ago.
Okay, we'll be right with you. We'll be right back after this, to you, meaningless nothing of a pause.
This isn't Terry Crews, by the way.
That's not Terry Crews.
And then Terry Crews did it, and he did it a bit too crazy.
It's actually pretty cool. Oh dear, that is pretty funny. Homework for y'all out there. Look up the Old Spice adverts.
I think most of us have seen it.
Most of us.
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 Well, most of us anyway.
I understand.
You know, maybe a few of the most of us.
Yeah, so anyway, half being unaware of half the people in it. Although the dude that plays Peralta.
Yeah.
He's like... is it Adam somebody? Whatever.
I don't know. He looks familiar.
He was in, obviously, the UK sitcom Cuckoo, which was pretty amazing. Well, second series, but great. Have you never seen Cuckoo?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Homework. You should watch it. It's funny. Okay, the idea is, okay, the premise of Cuckoo is, it's got Greg Davis in it.
Okay.
You know Greg Davis? Comedian. Really big. He used to be a teacher. Funny guy. Very funny guy. Okay, he lives at home. His daughter's off travelling. She comes back and she's basically married this dude who's essentially some sort of free-loving hippie type who's just sort of a lovable character who drives, obviously, him mad, character being Ken, drives him mental, but everyone in the family loves him.
Okay.
And it's funny. It's good. Good comedy.
Okay.
Homework.
Okay.
Watch Cuckoo, whoa, series one. Before the dog eats it. Anyway, another thing I want to tell you about, which I know you've watched.
Okay.
And again, for anybody out there, this pretty much has to be done on Netflix, is a Black Mirror project.
Oh.
Which has just been listed. And of course, we're talking about Bandersnatch. I totally loved Bandersnatch. Even though I've run through it a couple of times, I love it. I think it's just a brilliant concept for that. Again, just to let you know... what that is. Black Mirror, obviously written by Charlie Brooker, series of sort of, you know, dystopic, near future sort of tech gone crazy series. Really, really sort of thought-provoking programs. But then he brings us Bandersnatch, which is, essentially, I don't want to spoil it too much because I should leave it for people. Okay, so it's like set in the 80s when computer games are like ZX Spectrums and Commodores and BBCs and... So yeah, this kid's like building a game, which is based on an adventure sort of storybook. You remember the books when you used to have to flick backwards and forwards and go to page this for that. And
do you actually remember those books?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I can't remember what they were called, actually.
I think they were Choose Your Own Adventure books.
They were Choose Your Own Adventure, but there was like a series, you know, like Dungeons and Dragons or whatever.
Was it?
But it wasn't Dungeons and Dragons.
Was it Sanderbatch?
No, it was none of those. None of the above. But essentially, this kid is basing his game on this sort of premise that he's building a computer game to do you this choose-your-own-adventure style. I'm just checking out the books. Oh, there it is.
Which one?
It was called Fighting Fantasy, The Warlock of Firetop Mountain. My gosh, that's an old school. So anyway, he's writing these computer games. The premise of the actual program is, of course, if you have your Netflix and your controller or remote control, you can, as the program goes along and as the film unfolds, make your own choices, decide what you're eating, what you're listening to, and which way you're sort of steering your life as such. Although as it unfolds, it sort of pretty much breaks his psychology down to the fact that he seems to work out that he's being controlled. What did you think? Me, in my age bracket, great idea. Really want to see more films like this, more programmes like this. But there's apparently so many different endings and workouts. I did see a guy on YouTube that had broken it down into a nice sort of looked like a family tree effect with almost every path mapped out. So what did you reckon?
It was good, but in my opinion, it has its ways to go in different stories. Because obviously, this is Black Mirror. It's had 4 seasons, almost 5 seasons now. I haven't really watched them. This is their first interactive experience. And I thought it was great. I thought that like the interactive video story idea has a far way to go, which is why I feel like in the future they could expand with more episodes of Black Mirror or something else to add to the interactive library that
is. Do you think that
on.
Could work in like a cinema setting, or do you think if you had like maybe 100 people, 200 people in a cinema, then it's sort of going to be majority rule? Do you think it would work on a like a mass audience in a cinema to sort of have steer the movie, or do you think it's much better as a sort of personal, you know, personal choice, personal journey thing?
I think at least in Bandersnatch's case, it's more of a personal thing, because if you like, it's more of a thing in choices with multiple people in general, which I noticed when playing games and things, is that if you play a game and you give, let's say, 10 people, 20 people, whatever, a decision, a lot of them will go the honourable decision.
Yeah.
They won't go the dishonourable decision. So if someone wants to go the dishonourable decision...
Of course, harks back to our Red Dead conversation last week about living the righteous life. Or on that, of course, I am playing the game, the story mode again, and being absolutely terrible to everybody I meet, just to see how the story unfolds. I have been told I'm going to get given less things, I'm going to get less choice.
Oh, you are.
So we'll see how it goes. But anyway, sorry, carry on.
What was I on about? I was on about Bandersnatch.
Yeah, Bandersnatch, just seeing how it plays out to different, to whether it's a mass audience or...
Yeah, what I do feel like they should have done, which I don't remember if they did or not, because it's been like a week and I didn't recheck the menus, is that, as you may or may not know, have you heard of Telltale Games?
No, I have not.
They created, like, the Walking Dead story mode games. Like, it's a quick history on the Telltale Games. They were one of the innovators in Choose Your Own Adventure games.
Yep.
So they got really popular with their Walking Dead series.
Right.
Where you'd follow a character and you'd make decisions for him, and the story would play out around those decisions. But it was a video game, so you'd see how it'd play out with each people.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you could either... Like, you'd have the choice of either saving this person and risking losing someone else, or save the other person and lose this person there. But then how would that affect the story later on, saying, like, oh, you left him to die, so I'm going to leave you now.
Yeah,
it's kind of that sort of situation. The only difference is that the people who make Bandersnatch are actually still running. Telltale Games shut down about a few months ago. Bit annoying. But at the end of their games... they would show you a chart for each decision that you make in that episode and what the other communities made. So, like, let's say, oh, I want to save this person. Or in a later decision, say, like, oh, I will take this ammo from someone that I'm holding up. Later on, at the end of the episode, you'll be given statistics on 67% of people didn't take the ammo from the person. Yeah, yeah. So you wouldn't be influenced. You'd be making your own decisions, but you'd see what other people did at the end of the story.
I see. I like that.
Yeah, it's a good way of doing it.
It's good. It's a way that you might measure yourself against other people, though.
I suppose. But then again, you're making your own decisions. You're not being influenced by other people.
No. Okay. But anyway, for anyone out there, Bandersnatch is a great watch on Netflix at the moment. Something else we watched, the Netflix movie.
Which one?
Bird Box.
Well, I didn't.
Bird Box came out with a... Have you not seen that?
No, I haven't watched it. I kind of...
Okay, I mean, again, Bird Box came out. It was watched like 45 million times in 1 week or something, which is a huge number, an absolutely huge number. A total PR coup for Netflix and stuff. I personally didn't think it was that great. That, again, premise behind this one is there are some sort of strange monsters, beings, whatever, that seem to have found themselves on the world. They're invisible. Obviously, once you see them, though, they show you the worst of your fears and the worst of your depression, and it makes you pretty much instantly commit suicide. And it spreads around the globe, you know, just knocking out hundreds of thousands of people, and you end up with, like, these small little pockets of, you know, survivors in effect. Starring Sandra Bullock in the film, looks about 28, 30.
I mean, I wouldn't say that. I would
she's
say
she's got the Hollywood face.
No, she actually looks pretty old.
Do you think?
Yeah, what I think we really should be referencing is Keanu Reeves, how he still looks like.
I was going to say he wasn't in Bird Box.
But no, but in general, he like
generally
because the way you said it was like.
Do you know why
she
he looks young?
Unaging effect.
Because he's chilled and he gives all his money away.
Probably
he's
correct.
One of the nicest guys in Hollywood.
Yeah, probably correct.
He like shares out his dollars and he's like, got enough.
Yeah.
But so anyway, yeah. The other thing that bizarrely has happened from Bird Box is as the YouTube generation, as the internet grinds, the Bird Box Challenge.
Oh, Jesus.
Because part of Bird Box, part of the premise is to avoid seeing the beasts that's going to make me kill myself, is I must be blindfolded.
So people would just walk around blindfolded.
So people are blindfolding themselves and then trying to do things. Like drive cars.
Oh.
And the again, I read on the news, there's the first proper full automobile accident where someone's blindfolded themselves, driven down the road, and, you'd never believe it, crashed into another car.
No way.
Right, I'm going to give you a guess, okay? There's a lot of countries in the world.
Okay.
Think long and hard.
Okay.
Which country has this person come from who's crazy enough to think they can put a blindfold on and drive a car?
Well, I would say Russia, but it's probably America.
Of course it's America.
Well,
I think they get the better chance. They've got more people.
Yeah, but then also Russia's crazy.
Yeah.
Vladimir Putin, don't listen to this. This ain't for you. Please,
oh,
don't.
Dear.
Yeah, you're going to cut that out again.
Yeah, I am going to cut that out.
How much did this get cut out?
God, dear. Can you spell Novichok?
What? Novichok? What's that?
Like the
it
dodgy
sounds
virus.
Like a chalk bar.
Novichok.
Chalk. Introducing the new chalk ice flavor. Chalk knob. Not chalk knob. It's not
chalk knob. That's
what
a whole different kind
what
of chocolate. Novichok.
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 That's like a novice chocolate maker.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Hi, welcome to the Great British Bake Off. This
today
week's
I'm
category.
Creating Novichok.
Novichoks. So anyway, yeah. Apparently people are now putting blindfolds on, trying to drive, you know, ski, navigate things.
Do you know what I've just thought?
Madness.
I was the originator of this challenge.
Why?
Before the film even came out.
Why?
Because one day,
I
put on a blindfold.
I, in my life, have put on a blindfold
yep,
too.
Yeah, listen. I put on a blindfold.
Yes.
I was somewhere in the house. I don't know if we're talking about the house. And I went all the way to the kitchen and I made myself a bowl of cereal. Completely blindfolded.
Is this just for kicks?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because why not? I'm thinking, damn, blind people, you have it pretty hard, actually.
I see.
Yeah, well, I just
so just to stimulate being blind, you blindfolded yourself.
And made breakfast.
That's quite a noble thing to do. I like that. Did it give you a better understanding for what it must be like to be...
Yeah, kind of.
Without sight.
But then again, I know my kitchen pretty well.
Wow. Perhaps we should do the experiment again and I'll move everything around.
Oh, thanks.
Well, no, just like I say, it obviously would show how hard it must be. Obviously, if you lose your sight during your life, it's got to be a different skill set to someone who's born blind.
As I've heard, you know.
Yeah.
Do you know what I want to know?
Would you rather be blind or deaf?
What about Neth? Meth.
Would you rather be blind or deaf or try some meth? Anyway, I think that's gone off down the rabbit hole. Just another little thing on gaming, of course. I know that you've decided just to have a little look-see, a little revisit of GTA 5.
Yes, I have.
And we have noticed something glaringly obvious with a game that we used to think was the best thing since the bread of slice. What's up with GTA 5?
Do you want me to do it like the Echo again?
You what, can what possibly try if you want to.
Okay.
What's wrong with GTA 5?
The frame rate's so bad!
The frame rate... It is a bit juggly, stuttery.
I thought we were going to say the frame rate is a bit of a bitch. Damn, boy.
Damn right, that frame rate is a... Anyway. What were you saying? Stuttering.
Yeah, stuttering. Very bad.
It looked pretty chunky.
It was like if you watched a cartoon, but your computer was like, nah, mate, your computer ain't good enough for this 2-second animation.
Yeah.
Well, it's not actually.
Do you know what I expected?
What?
I'm flying down the street, and we're doing something, I turn a corner. Do you know what I expected to happen?
What?
A little white circle to come up, and it say, buffering. That's how bad it seemed to be.
Not many games do that anymore. Do you know Fortnite does that now?
What?
When you load into a game, it actually has to load for like 3 seconds.
So it buffers.
You basically, when you... I hate saying this. I hate saying the game. When you load into Fortnite,
mm-hmm.
when you hit the...
You hate saying the game?
I just don't like the game. It's boring.
What, Fortnite?
Yeah.
Fortnite.
It's too overrated.
Fortnite.
Fortnite's overrated. Fight me.
Freighted.
But yeah, now when you start the game, you actually enter a loading screen for like 3 seconds before you play.
But, massive game, lots of many people playing. Listen, around the world.
Give me the size comparison.
Big surfers.
Fortnite, Red Dead Redemption 2. Have you seen loading while playing in Red Dead Redemption 2?
I have not seen
exactly
what you said.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Fortnite.
Fortnite's huge. Epic's huge.
I only work for them
if
they give me the money.
Rich, rich people.
I don't work for them.
They're the sort of games people you want to be working for.
I know.
I'm telling you, you want to be the Rockstar crew, you want to be in the Epic's crew, because they got the monies.
It depends. It's like, which one would you work for?
I know somebody who works for Epic.
I know.
He's very rich.
I know.
He gets very good bonus.
I know.
He gets paid very well.
Should we be...
He's a very happy man.
Are we at the ability to be able to say that?
To what ability?
That he earns a lot.
It's like...
He earns 5 million. No, he doesn't.
He's comfortable. He's like 13 tog quilt comfortable.
You go to his house.
He's electric blanket comfortable. He's fluffy bunny slippers and a big, lovely big bathrobe after a warm bath comfortable.
It's like the sort of
He's
thing.
A glass of red wine, which is like a goldfish bowl, comfortable.
It's like the sort of thing where you'd go to his house and you'd see him in there and he'd be wearing like overly sized blue glasses and just laying in like a whoopee cushion. Wrong cushion.
He's like Kevin McAllister after discovering he's home alone. That's how comfortable he is.
Kevin McAllister?
He's running around the house. Yeah. Macaulay Culkin's character in Home Alone.
Okay. I was going to get a bit worried there.
Kevin!
Like, Kevin! Gavin.
So, no, that's Gavin. Gavin in Red Dead. Yes. We're talking Kevin McAllister.
Kevin McAllister.
We're talking Home Alone.
Okay.
When he's charging around the house, waving his hands in the air, bouncing on his bed. That's how comfortable he is. He's a happy man.
Until the two guys come in and go,
but I'd like to say, obviously, at this point, that Mr. Forrest has decided to take upon himself that as his career path, he's going to be a computer programmer, game developer.
Indeed.
Has worked on several of his own little games, working on one at the moment.
Yes.
Which he's been working on for quite a long time. Are we on to a year yet?
Almost.
Almost a year in development. When it first started, I thought it was essentially started off as just...
A simulation test
of sort of
the galaxy, or our solar system. Yeah.
We've developed this, haven't we? First, you want to say what your game's called and when we're expecting a release on this? And this is not a shameless plug, of course.
Well, the game is called Universe, and it's a tycoon about creating your own galaxy of planets, and that's about it.
So essentially, you're going to be able to buy your own. On a blank slate of nothingness.
Yes.
And you're going to be able to buy your own sun.
Yeah.
Generate your own energy.
Yeah.
Which will enable you to buy more planets.
Yeah. And you can customise the planets.
Custom-made
planets. Title, description, colour, and if it has beautiful rings or planets. Not, size, things like that.
Do you know what this reminds me of?
What? If you say Supremacy, I swear.
No. What it reminds me of is, obviously, the fantastic cult classic novel... Written by Douglas Adams.
Name's familiar.
He looks at me, gone out. It was called The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Part of the story in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is that obviously the Earth is destroyed to make ways for the hyperspace bypass by them dastardly Vogons. Then it also comes to light that the Earth was in fact built as a giant computer to run a program to find the answer to, obviously, life, the universe and everything. And the people... that built planets was on a place called Magarathea. And you could buy any planet you wanted. Custom-made planets. Big planets. Lovely planets. Soft, wobbly planets with lots of earthquakes and things. Okay. So, yeah. So, maybe...
What, maybe you'll put a reference or something?
That would be cool. A little Easter egg. A little Magarathean Easter egg in there. Maybe. A bit of slightly barred fast.
Maybe I'll just have a skin for a planet, which is like the robot's head from the movie.
Wicked. Marvin the Paranoid Android.
Then again, my game's all about squares.
Wow. So Marvin's in the original BBC. It's pretty square. Pretty square.
That's good.
So anyway, we may keep on track with what we're doing on this in our podcast. What do you reckon? Keep up with the progress of Universe? I believe you have got your own website and stuff. Do you want to give it a little shout out while we're here?
Well, I have a WordPress website.
That'll do. People can always check in on it and have a look.
Yeah, I suppose. For now, until I get a new website, it's shadoweclipsestudios.wordpress.com, and in the future, it'll probably just be shadoweclipsestudios.com when I eventually make the website.
Cool. Well, I like it, and I'm like super proud of you, dude, because you've stuck at it, and it definitely looks like it's going to be a cool game. So,
performance is annoying, though.
What's annoying?
Basically, as the game's gone on, first thing is trying to make an experience for people to enjoy. I don't want people to play the game if they're not going to enjoy it, type thing, if you know what I mean. I want to build an experience, so not just, hey, buy a planet, you're going to be doing that the entire time. I'd like an experience where people can always experience
it. I told you, it's all about the playability of it. Yeah. It's like, you know, your Candy Crush and all this. It's basically bloody Connect Four. It's the simplest idea. It's put things in a row, all of the same colour, get a nice little, nice little sound, a bit of a nice little graphic flash. It's the same as press the button, get a reward. Yeah. So, yeah, you just got to make it an enjoyable experience. Anyway, let's have a little touch on YouTube for the week, shall we? What's the waffle on YouTube this week?
Whose side?
Well, I don't know.
I mean,
I've got a few people I've been... what I thought I'd do is I just went onto my YouTube and went for me recommendeds, and my feed as such went up and down the page.
Okay.
Just thought I'd touch on a couple of people that I get. I always like just giving people a bit of, like, airtime in effect.
Yeah, I suppose.
So who are you after at the minute, then? Who's your number one go-to on YouTube?
Currently... What's his name? Hang on. I've got his name in my head. I can't think of it.
Bob.
Not Bob.
Jim.
Not Jim.
Tom.
Wait.
Tony.
No.
Luigi.
I mean, I can't think of it at the moment because I watch a lot of people, but I don't really remember their name. They kind of just appear in my subscription feed and I watch their videos. But there's this group of people that's got like these guys in it, and like their usernames like Fitz and Swagger Souls.
Is it like a crew that play games and things? Or?
Yeah. But they're one of the funnier.
There are some which are genius. I like that, man. I do love... I'm a big, big fan of YouTube. I've, like I say, we've pretty much in the last year or so totally come away from sort of terrestrial-style TV. I think, do you know what? The difference I like with YouTube is with TV, as you sort of grow up with it, it's sort of like untouchable medium.
Yeah.
Where you watch people on TV and it's like, oh, they're on TV. And there's no way you're ever going to... You don't contact these people. You have no correspondence with these people. There's no discourse with people. Pretty much like the YouTube generation.
Yeah.
I've watched films and stuff, and almost all of them I pretty much can reach out and talk to and fire a message to and actually get conversations.
Yeah.
And genuinely, over the last year, I've picked up people that are now in my messenger who have pretty big followings, and I'm happy just to shoot a message and be able to talk to these people.
Yeah.
And I love that about YouTube. I also like the fact that you can get someone who's total... enthusiasm for what they're doing just shines through.
Yeah.
And they just do well. Like I say, I was watching last year, obviously we're looking at the moment, we're putting a pond in the garden, aren't we? It's going to be a very big pond. So as I normally do now, I default straight to YouTube to see how I'm supposed to plan and build this pond into my garden. And I came across this kid. He must be like... 15-year-old, 16-year-old, a guy called Paul Cafaro.
Okay.
He started off, I think he was on YouTube about 2 years ago, but at the time he was like fishing. He's an American kid doing some fishing videos just with his friends. And then about a year ago, he's like, oh, we're going to dig a pond in the garden. Mum's gone out. And it's like filmed on a phone. These kids like essentially start excavating a pretty big pond in this kid's garden. the mum comes home and obviously she's a bit aghast at what's going on, but she, you know, she gets behind him. And he basically documents it, builds up his pond. He's got total enthusiasm for what he's doing again, really loves his, like, you know, his the fish and the wildlife he's putting in there. And basically I've watched him sort of growing and growing over the year.
Yeah.
And the kid's like, he's got over 880,000 subscribers now.
That's not bad.
He'll stick a video on, and you're talking 200,000, 250,000 views in a 24-hour period, you know, million-plus watches on his videos. And essentially, he's basically built his career, man. That kid's going to do so well out of it. He's got a lot of other pond sort of landscapers and garden people all, like, digging in, like proper big companies willing to come in and help him. He's been invited on projects. And that is the joy. That is the dream of the YouTube thing. And I do say to Pete, you know, there's loads of kids that, you know, they're, oh, I want to be on this and I want to be on YouTube and I want to be that. And you know what? You may never get to that where you're going to be, the millions and millions. But if you're doing something that you are enthusiastic about, you're certainly going to get an audience. You certainly will find people that are willing to watch what you're doing. So, but yeah, that's where I'm at on YouTube. I also like my Wendell boys.
I've never watched them. I know you've sent
them
messages. There's another
group on YouTube, okay? What they do is this, and if you haven't heard of this, they do something called magnet fishing. Now, magnet fishing is pretty much as you would expect it to do. You get yourself a good quality industrial chunky magnet with a obviously hundreds of kilogram pull on it, a very strong, sturdy piece of rope, a nice set of decent thick rubber gloves, because clearly you may be dredging some sharp and nasty dirty things out of the river that you don't want to be spiking through your fingers. Go find yourself, do a bit of recce and find yourself a nice old site, a nice old bridge that's been there a long time, a nice stretch of water that's been around for obviously hundreds of years with a bit of history to it. Go down there, throw your magnet in, drag it backwards and forwards and see what you're catching. When I first saw these guys, I almost didn't like them. You know what I mean? I almost found it just, I don't know, I just didn't catch with it. And then again, it's just their enthusiasm comes through. Brilliant little bit of history at the beginning of it. They're really up for their local area. They've got obviously the two older gentlemen doing it, and they've got one of like a young nephew or something with them. Again, clearly a decent age gap, but it's just good to have that sort of spread of age of people sharing an enthusiasm. So yeah, check them guys out. World War II Wendell on YouTube. Happy to give them guys a shout. I'll have to tell you what else I was watching. Key and Peele. If nobody knows Key and Peele, you've got
issues.
What?
Issues.
Well, Keegan-Michael Keel and Jordan Peele, two comedians, came from Comedy Central. Just funny guys. Obviously, Jordan Peele split off now and being his film director.
Wait, has he split off from Key and Peele?
Well, I don't think he's split off, but obviously he does his own projects being a film director.
Obviously, does Key and Peele still go on?
Yeah, they're still on Comedy. Oh, well, they're still putting YouTube videos out, and well, they're still, I assume it's Comedy Central, and they do a crossover to YouTube. So what else have you seen then?
What, on YouTube or just in general?
Just in general. You'd go general with me.
Not a lot.
I believe you're watching like a lot of sort of how-tos anyway on YouTube, aren't you?
Oh yeah, yeah. A lot of how-tos on different subjects, like how to animate and how to, you know, maybe just a little bit of how to not, oh, I don't know how to go along with that joke. I was gonna make a joke, but I can't think of a punchline.
I'll tell you a joke.
Yeah?
It's the joke that Finley told me. Okay, are you ready? Are you ready out there? Here we go. This is the joke.
Okay.
From a 13-year-old's mind. What's the difference between a dirty bus stop? You dirty bus stop. A dirty bus stop and a lobster with breast implants. Well, one is a crusty bus station, and the other one is a busty crustacean. Genius.
That is a good joke.
It's a great joke.
But here's my question.
Yes.
Did he come up with it?
I don't know.
It's either an internet joke. Yeah. I'm leaning towards more of an internet joke, because it's hard to come up with your own jokes.
It probably is an internet joke. I imagine that joke's been thought of from the fact of a busty crustacean and then worked backwards.
Who doesn't want a busty crustacean?
I'd love a busty crustacean smothered in butter.
Could you imagine?
Oh, you filthy.
You went to the club. And you had people dancing.
Which club is
listen,
this?
Listen, you went to the club, you had people dancing on poles or whatever, but just in the middle was a busty crustacean.
Damn.
Just like a lobster dancing around.
What was she wearing?
Crabs. She had crabs.
What, draped around her neck?
nose and she had crabs.
What colour was this lobster?
Green.
Wow.
Blue, maybe? I don't know.
Green, blue, a raw lobster.
Yeah.
A live lobster.
Yeah.
Damn. Oh, dear, that's funny. Do you know what else I was watching?
What?
Which is not on at the minute, actually.
Yeah.
BuzzFeed. Worth it.
What do you mean, not on at the minute?
Worth it's not on at the minute.
As in it's just waiting for another series.
Another season. Again, for anyone. Worth it being the couple of guys.
I swear.
What?
It's not the greatest.
It's not the greatest. It's just a good series. Two dudes go around, they find things at three different price points, they try them and see which one's worth it at its price point. The dollar donut, the $5 donut, and the $100 donut. More than likely, nearly most times, it's the cheaper options are clearly worth it more than a $100 donut dripped in fancy chocolate and covered in gold leaf.
Statistically, the middle one's the most worth it, always. Because you're getting a medium product for a low to medium price.
Yeah, but sometimes they've got somebody, you've just got quality, simple ingredients that screams like flavour and everything else, and it's like a dollar. You know, the dollar, whatever they're having, donut, dollar hot dog, dollar taco, whatever. And it's like, you don't need to dress it up. It's a simple thing, so. But who knows, anyway. Right then, I reckon we should have a little bit just towards the end.
Yeah.
We're going to talk movies.
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 Oh, what? Okay.
We're going to waffle movies.
Are we year?
The floor is open. What I want out of you, okay, it's movie night.
Okay.
Okay, it's movie night. It's fantasy movie night.
Okay.
Okay. So you get to pick what movies you're watching.
Okay.
Yeah? Who are you watching it with? What snacks are you having?
Yeah.
What drink are you having?
Okay.
Okay. Whether you're watching one film, two films, whether you're sticking with one director, whether you're spanning the genres, what are you doing? What are you watching? Who's there? Pick the movie. It's fantasy movie night.
Okay. I would go and see...
We're going out to the movies.
Oh, are we?
No, I don't know. It's your
I don't know.
It's your fantasy movie night.
I mean, fantasy movie night just feels like, yo, boy, you want to go grab some popcorn?
I assume then we're talking... We'll go and shoot up a store. We're talking a fancy cinema, are we?
A fancy cinema? No,
with a big layback seat.
It's just the broken down one down the street.
Sweet.
It's not near us. It's a ghost one.
Wow. Is that because the film's more important than a comfy chair?
Yeah. I go there and I sit on dead people.
I like
people.
A comfy chair. I sit on dead people.
Yeah, I do. I sit down inside this like cinema that's buried underground. I don't know, I'm making up a story.
Wow.
And I just sit on like dead people and I go, that's a pretty good film. And I'm watching The Sixth Sense, I don't know.
Wow.
As in I'm watching The Sixth Sense in a film in a cinema full of dead people.
You're watching dead people with dead people on dead people.
Maybe I'm just sitting alone on the floor and no one can see the other dead people.
Wow.
Maybe, well, no, but then again, if it was Sixth Sense, I would be sitting on someone that'd be, get off me, I swear I'll punch you. And then try to punch you and they don't hit because they're ghosts. And you'd be like, oh, ha, boy, you lonely.
Was that you just stalling to try and think of a movie?
Yes.
For movie night?
Yes.
Brilliant. Okay, it's fantasy movie night.
Okay.
Let's pull it back in again.
Is this movie already out?
Let's throw a rope on that wildness and bring it back.
Is this movie already out?
It's fantasy movie night.
Can it just be a movie of any type?
It's fantasy movie night.
I want to watch a movie. It's a crime drama.
Yes.
And it follows the story of...
Does this movie exist?
No.
Or are you just making it up?
Making it up.
So we're going to have a fantasy movie about a movie that doesn't actually exist.
Yes. A fantasy movie night about a fantasy movie.
Wow. Let's do it.
I want a crime film.
Yes.
That follows a detective guy and his sidekick.
Yeah.
The only thing is that the entire film is underwater. The main detective guy is a crab and his sidekick is a shrimp. In the back of the car, for some reason, is a busty crustacean.
Wow. And like they've busted a crustacean.
No, as in she just...
They've busted a busty crustacean.
No. They're busting. They just stay back there.
Okay.
They, every time they try to kick this thing out, it comes back. So,
wow. So it's like a boomerang busty crustacean.
Exactly. It won't go away. So if it was a cartoon, all the time they're in the car, you just see someone dancing
in
the back.
So is this anime? Or is this
animated.
Is animated.
Animated.
Okay, no
like,
problem at all.
Like Studio
Who
Ghibli.
On this bloody wide good earth have you convinced is going to sit and watch this movie with you?
Nick Knowles.
Nick Knowles. Wow. I've heard he's a big fan of the animated crap.
I don't know who he is. I just know, I believe he was in Jungle or something.
Okay. Just even better throwing out names. And what are you sharing between you as a little snack-a-doo-doo then? What are we snacking
Which
on?
Which one's Nick Knowles?
What?
Which one's Nick Knowles?
The one that
is
was...
Is he the football guy?
No.
Okay.
No, that was Redknapp.
Oh, okay.
That was Jim Roly-Poly's son. Oh, come
okay.
on, son.
Which one's Nick Knowles? Is he the one that's like always picking up the red phones? He's like, boy, can you give me a deal?
Nick Knowles used to be on like the DIY, the SOS in.
The DIY, the SOS.
Yeah, you know, he's like the housewife's favourite. He's like the...
Nick Knowles makes me think of the host. Or not the host. The guy that does...
He's a very big man, to be honest.
The Chase. He just makes me think of him.
No, he's quite a big fella, to be honest, in real life.
I haven't met
this gentleman.
He looks like he's from Game of Thrones.
A couple of times. He's into his motorbikes. When I've been to motorbike racing, I have...
Has he been in Game
met
of Thrones?
A couple of times. What?
Has he been in Game of Thrones? He just looks like
no,
a gamer.
No, he has not been.
Oh,
in
he's a television
presenter.
I thought he was an actor. He looks like one of the guys from Game of Thrones.
No, he's just TV stuff.
Oh, you know what? That's great.
He's
that's
a
who...
presenter.
You know what?
Yeah.
I would go to the cinema.
With him.
With him.
Yeah. So now you're going to the cinema, the dead cinema under the ground, to sit on dead people with Nick Knowles.
Yeah.
Eating what together, sorry? What's the snack? It sounds like pick a mixed prescription by what you're waffling on about.
Teeth.
Teeth. You're snacking on teeth.
Children's toes?
Wow.
Nah, teeth is better. Teeth is nicer. They're more crunchy.
Infinitely better.
Yeah, I mean, I've eaten enough teeth in my life.
Okay. And
that
I
sounds wrong.
Totally don't
and
want to ask.
What was the question?
What are you drinking?
Bottle of vodka.
Shh.
Why not? No one's there overwatching me. Overwatch, ha, huh? Lol.
I'll be amazed if any of this makes it to the final edit.
What? So you we're going to talk about films and then you can ignore everything I say. Skip
yeah,
to
Yeah, because you.
You
haven't made, you haven't actually mentioned any real film, any real snack with any, well, yeah, real drink with, yeah, okay.
Okay, here we go. Lady Gaga.
What is the film?
No.
I saw you watch
no,
it with.
No, no. That's who I'm watching it with.
Yes.
Chocolate popcorn.
Yes.
Mamma Mia 2. Here we go again. I don't know. You want real films and real people? There we go.
Oh, I wish I was invited to watch that. That'd
I don't even
so
know what
Mamma
Mia 2 is.
I don't know if there is one.
There is. I've seen an advert for it. I just don't know what it's about.
Wow. Brilliant.
Right, what's your movie? What's your set then?
I'm reckoning fantasy movie night. I'm going to watch Chappie.
Okay.
With Ninja and Yolandi, because that'd just be too cool.
Okay.
Okay, food-wise, we're going to be eating nachos.
Okay.
Cheese.
Okay.
Jalapenos.
Okay.
Yeah, I can live with that. Cheese, no, yeah. With real frosty cold beers. Frosty cold beers. Nacho cheese. Watching Chappie. Ninja and Yolandi.
Do they even know who Ninja and Yolandi is?
Okay.
Your boys.
Ninja.
Your
yeah,
boys.
Yeah. Ninja right. Yolandi, obviously from the group De Antwoord.
Indeed.
So, yeah. South African. Rap. Techno.
Things.
Very sort of artistic style.
So what he's getting at is, if you're ever alone in the car.
Yeah.
And you have Bluetooth.
If you're ever
alone. You want to listen to a song. You're like, well, I have internet connection or data or whatever. And you go, what can I listen to? And then you realise, oh wait, my kid's in the car. So now you got to go, I've got to get something that's good enough for, it's safe enough for me to listen to and for my child to listen to.
Fatty Bum Bum.
And then you realise that the dog's in the back seat.
The dog hates
but,
to Antwoord.
But the issue with the dog is that everyone likes the dog. So now your wife slash the mother of the child is in the back seat.
The wife slash the mother of the child?
The child next
wow,
to you.
Wow, that's a
and,
tumultuous
now,
relationship.
Now, the kid's grandma's in the back of the seat, and there's a cat in the boot.
Is this like the fantasy
so,
journey?
You put on...
Black Lace.
Mamma Mia, here we go again.
We put on Mamma Mia 2. with a sing along by Lady Gaga.
I was gonna put something really classic. I was gonna try and think of something classical, but I couldn't think of anything. So classical. I said Mamma Mia 2.
I don't know. You're a funny guy.
Fun guy.
Oh, and by the way, of course, I'm just going to drop in a couple of you can contact us. Of course, if you have any questions, have any suggestions for us.
Yeah.
At.
What is it?
The Weekly Waffle Podcast at gmail.com. Yeah. That is theweeklywafflepodcast@gmail.com. Any questions you have, send them in. We'll be happy to answer them.
Whether it's...
If we can, of course.
Whether it's emails or papers for emails or fax machine. You can send us physical fax machines. Or you could send us a dog for email. Who doesn't want a dog for email? Well, you wouldn't.
Don't send me a
dog. Okay, how about this? How about you try this? Here's a challenge for next week. Send some sort of thing.
Do you know another podcast I listen to, which I'm pretty addicted to?
Okay.
Is My Favourite Murder.
Okay.
This is a true crime podcast. Absolutely blown up completely at the moment. I think possibly one of the top rated ones now around this said world.
Oh, it is one of the most popular ones.
They've, again, grown in sort of a 3 years, I think they are now, into this huge following. They have, obviously, email sent into them.
Yeah.
They're now into just receiving thousands of things a week where they can't possibly keep up. But they, obviously, people send them stuff.
Yep.
And being a true crime podcast about all sorts of murder and dark and weirdness, they're terrified of their mail. They have a P.O. box. People send them packages and things. And they're always like, they're expecting to get blown up and all sorts of weird body parts, and that's sent to them in the post all the time.
That's not that. That's more of a Sherlock Gnomes sort of situation. You don't want to get blown up if you're a teapot, but... Sorry, back to the story.
You don't want to get blown up if you're a teapot?
Listen, right, there's not much of an explosive you can fit in a tiny paper-fired box.
Paper-fies?
Paper-fized.
A paper-fized box.
Sempathy.
I like Sempathy.
Do you?
Do you know another good podcast?
Sempathy.
That I've just discovered, which is a new podcast. Okay, so I'm tipping you all off about this one. It's a podcast called Off Menu.
Okay.
It's hosted by Ed Gamble.
Yeah.
James Acaster, both obviously British comedians.
Yep.
Premise, similar to what we've just talked about actually, is that they invite guests on and they talk each week about building their fantasy meal.
Okay.
So, of course, you get a guest in, they get to pick their starter, their main...
Yep.
The dessert, what they're drinking, and all this. And of course, this can be anywhere from around the world of a meal you only ever had once, or that somebody's mum made you, or whatever. That's a good podcast.
Mm.
So yeah, Off Menu, look that one up.
Sometime, I will. I normally listen to podcasts when we're on a journey.
A journey?
With you, because you're the one that listens to podcasts.
I do listen to lots of podcasts.
I don't mainly listen to podcasts, I just kind of tag along with the podcast if you're listening to one.
You a podcast tagger?
Yes.
Why?
Because it's illegal.
What's illegal?
Tagging podcasts with your graffiti.
Is it?
No.
Have you actually ever tried to tag something that's like...
No, because it would damage my phone.
Broadcast via invisible waves.
You know what? How funny would it be if you would hack a podcast, someone's listened to it, but you basically destroy the recording, so halfway through they'd hear like us like a...
Do you know what? It's crazy.
Okay, what?
When we were driving the last time we went away.
Yeah.
We were listening to Our Podcast in Our Car. What happened to Our Podcast in Our Car? Where did it get beamed to? This is when...
I pull out my phone.
We pull over at the garage. We're going away. We go away en masse when we go. So we take the two cars. We stop at the garage. At which point my wife says to me, I can hear your podcast.
You're thinking about that.
I can hear what you're listening to. So it's even more weird. So when I'm driving along, I have to be like, what can I listen to? Thinking that if my missus is driving up behind... The good Lady Dawny.
I wouldn't say just that. I think
she picks up the podcast.
You're probably around a lot of people.
Imagine that. All these other people can be listening to my podcast.
Why not?
But if I'm listening to like true crime podcasts, we're talking about maximum murderage.
Why don't they? You know what? I'd love. If I was there, I'd love to see a reaction of someone go. It's like someone that listens to, let's say, My Favourite Murder, because that's what we listen to most on the way to holiday.
Yeah.
And I just.
Do you know what's really freaking me out?
What?
Is I'm listening to My Favourite Murder and you're going, oh, this reminds me of Mary Bell.
Yeah, Mary Bell.
The childhood.
The child
murderer.
Girl murderer.
The child murderer.
Yeah.
And then not more than how much longer further down the road?
It was
they...
like, no, it had to be on the way back.
But essentially, within the same sort of journey, that all of a sudden, straight across there, comes the exact story we're talking about.
The exact story, yeah.
Bizarre. It's like you knew.
I still haven't heard anything about the Lizzie Borden case, though.
Who's Lizzie Borden?
I told you about this. This is the one with a woman. She, destroyed her father's head with an axe.
Wow.
She went, "Boy, you ain't giving me the house in the will. Y'all gonna die." Not with the accent, but...
When was this?
I don't know.
1892.
Well, she ain't worth this... Well, 1892. Well, okay.
Fair while ago.
Oh, yeah. It definitely was a while ago. Just looking at date of birth and things.
Born in 1860 to 1927.
Yeah.
Main suspect. Axe murderers of her father and stepmother in Fall River, Massachusetts.
What's a
She was tried and acquitted of the murders.
Yeah. And then she lived the rest of her life feeling the guilt and the, well, probably not guilt, because I don't know, and the harassment from people talking about their case.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Did she do it?
Probably.
Probably.
Doesn't really matter now.
It doesn't matter now.
Doesn't.
Okay then, so what's going to be homework for this week then, Fossey? What do you reckon? You can give me homework to do as well. That'd be cool. I haven't done homework for ages.
Okay, here's your homework.
If it involves Lady Gaga and an underground cinema, I'll tell you. So go on then, set me a challenge. What's my homework?
Your homework...
Oh God.
...is to watch...
Paint dry?
Nope.
Grass grow.
It's not that impressive.
Do you know what? You've got no imagination.
Right, you've got to watch...
Yes. Battle of the Planets.
Bulletproof. From 1996, because it's rated as the worst Adam Sandler movie ever.
I've got to watch Bulletproof.
Because it's got Adam Sandler in it, and it's the
worst.
And it's
got Adam Sandler in, who I'm not a big fan of.
Yep.
And it's 19 when?
1996.
And what's it rated as?
I don't know.
Terrible.
Oh, hang on.
Okay, I'm going to do it.
It could also be Jack and Jill. You could watch Jack and Jill from 2011 with Adam Sandler in it.
Which one was the one... Which one do I have to watch?
Bulletproof by Adam Sandler. Or with Adam Sandler in 1996. Just type Adam Sandler. There you go.
Okay, there we go.
There is Bulletproof, Adam 8% Sandler.
8% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, you got to watch Bulletproof.
8%.
You know what, I'd watch it with you. I don't mind.
Okay, I'm going to watch it. Anyway, Foss.
Yeah.
Talking about next week's podcast.
Yeah.
I've set you some homework.
Oh, more? Okay, what we got?
I don't know. I can't remember what it was. I thought I'd already set you the homework. Oh, Cuckoo's your homework, isn't it?
Cuckoo?
Cuckoo.
You didn't mention Cuckoo.
Yes, I did.
They did. Yeah. Are you talking about last week?
No, I'm talking about this week. I'm talking about less than an hour ago when I talked about Cuckoo.
Oh, you're talking about the one with what's his name?
Included Adam, whatever he's called.
Adam Sandler.
No, about the comedy series. Goes to live with the parents. Dad doesn't like him. Rest of the family love him.
Okay.
BBC series. There we go. Okay. I think we're about done for the waffle for this week. It has been a rambling nonsense this week, which I do kind of like and was definitely going to be the idea of it. Thank you very much for sticking with us. Thanks for listening in. Again, any questions? Anything you've got, come to us at theweeklywafflepodcast@gmail.com.
Indeed.
We'll certainly be happy to read out any comments we get.
Yep.
So until next week, waffle on everyone, and we'll see you next week. So bye from me, guys.
Goodbye, guys. Oh, that was awkward. Are we going to end on that?
That sounded like a cockerel.
So are we ending on the weird voice? Or do you want me to say goodbye again?
I'm going to end on my normal voice.
You're going to talk your normal voice? Well, I'll talk my normal voice.
Awesome. Catch you later, guys. Thank you very much for listening in. This has been the Weekly Waffle Podcast.